damage to our economy comes from China's restrictive practices. Blame China. They've been doing this for decades.
President Trump's economic advisor pulls no punches on trade. It's Friday, April 6th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Remember, you're part of the program. Join us on VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, aid groups send food in a bottle to North Korea. We'll meet an Afghan mine removal expert and a 12-year-old bomb survivor. And a New York company specializes in Hollywood-quality wedding videos. That's all on today's VOA Asia. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. I'm David Byrd in Washington. New senior White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow told reporters Thursday that China, not President Donald Trump, should be blamed for the escalating trade fight between the two countries. Speaking outside the White House, Kudlow said that newly announced tariffs against China have not been enacted yet, and he warned against jumping to what he called the worst-case scenario.
Don't forget, technically, both countries have just proposed tariffs. There's been nothing enacted. And I think that's an important point. And here in the U.S., you know, we're going to put it out for comment for a couple months. So I don't want to pinpoint a deadline. That's Bob Lighthizer's area. But I would just say it's nothing around the corner. There's going to be big discussion about it. Obviously, all the senators will weigh in, and we welcome that.
Kudlow, who heads the White House's National Economic Council, said that China's restrictive practices had been going on for decades.
I think everybody in the world knows that China has not played by the rules for many years. Europe, Latins, Japan, and so forth, they know this, and they don't like it. So here's President Trump, the first guy in decades to show some backbone on this issue and some seriousness. But the end of the rainbow, the end of the rainbow is a little pot of gold, and if you open that pot up, it says growth, investment, jobs, and wages.
On Monday, in response to earlier tariffs on steel and aluminum imposed by the Trump administration, China started tariffs of up to 25% on 128 U.S. products, including fruits, nuts, pork, wine, steel, and aluminum. Later on the same day, the U.S. Trade Representative proposed an increase of tariffs on 1,300 imported goods from China, mostly aerospace, medical, and information technology products. Less than 12 hours later, China announced it plans to impose retaliatory duties of 25% on 106 politically sensitive American goods, including soybeans, automobiles, and aircraft. But Kudlow said Thursday that President Trump has no intention of hurting any segments of the U.S. economy.
But let's not jump to worst-case conclusions. The intent of the president is to grow the American economy, not to hurt any of the sectors. And look, our farm sector has been doing great. China should give them more export opportunities. That's important. Same with NAFTA. So we're going to work and help them. We're here to help. This should not be viewed as strictly mano-mano, punitive damages, you know, that kind of thing. This got to be viewed in the context of economic growth, which is what this administration is all about.
Kudlow said the Trump administration is reaching out to other major economies to support the U.S. position. He said President Trump is building what he called a coalition of the willing to encourage trade.
Don't blame Trump. Trump is doing what everyone in the world has said we should do. He's doing what, there's like a grand coalition out there, and you'll see more on that point. So our intention is not to punish anybody. Our intention is to open markets and investments and lower barriers. That's the deal.
Meanwhile, the U.S. trade deficit rose 1.6% in February to reach nearly a 10-year high. The Commerce Department said Thursday the deficit rose to $57.6 billion, up from $56.7 billion last month. That's the biggest deficit since October of 2008. U.S. trade deficits in goods with China, Mexico, and Germany are running higher than this time last year. But that report had little effect on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up nearly 1%. While the S&P 500 rose 0.85%, markets were also higher in Europe. These are among the top Asia stories currently trending on voanews.com. Korea's hold preparatory talks ahead of landmark summit. Russia, China hail burgeoning ties. Bollywood star Salman Khan convicted in poaching case. Indonesians fight to keep mystical religion of Java alive. Once a hostage, Sri Lankan sailor now helps battle Somali pirates. Expanded coverage of these stories and more is on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. Thanks for being with us on this Friday. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Humanitarian groups in South Korea are using the ocean current to send needed food and information from the outside world into impoverished regions of North Korea. VOA Seoul correspondent Brian Padden reports the activists, many of whom are North Korean defectors, hope that by floating aid across the border, it will get to those in need and not be confiscated by the repressive Kim Jong-un government.
Korean activists are sending out to sea more than messages of hope in plastic bottles. On Kangwa Island in the Yellow Sea, located just south of the inter-Korean border, humanitarian groups are launching aid packages containing rice, medicine, U.S. dollars, and news from the outside world. The ocean's current, they say, will carry the sealed bottles to cities and towns along the west coast of North Korea.
If we set the date and time right, it will get there 100%.
On one day alone, the activist group can send over 500 kilos of rice and 400 computer memory sticks full of South Korean movies and independent news that is banned in North Korea. Jung Kwon Il, a North Korean defector who recently met with U.S. President Donald Trump in the White House, has included a copy of the president's fiery speech last year at the United Nations.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime,
where he both threatened to destroy North Korea for its pursuit of nuclear weapons and strongly criticized the Kim Jong-un government for the widespread starvation and oppression in the country.
So the message that we are sending to them is that the U.S. president knows that you are living these harsh conditions.
United Nations reports that over 40% of the North Korean population is undernourished, and there are concerns that sanctions on exports, meant to pressure Pyongyang to give up its nuclear program, are increasing poverty and hunger in the country. The North Korean defectors involved in this unconventional aid effort have raised money and donated their time to help those most in need in the country they left behind.
It is very difficult when doing it, but after sending it, I feel proud.
Some of their support also comes from Christian churches that want to send Bibles into the communist north, where religious teaching is also highly restricted. Brian Padden, VOA News, Seoul.
Happening now in Asia, North and South Korean officials held preparatory talks Thursday for a summit later this month between the country's two leaders amid a global effort to resolve tensions over Pyongyang's nuclear program. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us on this Friday morning. I'm David Byrd in Washington. A group that monitors landmines says more than 25,000 people have been killed or injured in landmine accidents in Afghanistan since 1978. Seraj Ahmad Afghanimal, an Afghan expert on unexploded ordnance, has made it his life's mission to defuse the deadly devices before they maim and kill. But as VOA's Azizullah Popal and Zabihullah Ghazi found out, Seraj Ahmad can't save everyone from the terrible consequences of a landmine explosion. Shaista Sadat Lamin narrates their story.
This is the district center of Panjwai, west of Kandahar city. Seraj Ahmad Afghanmal is busy clearing roadside mines in a Taliban-held area recently recaptured by government forces.
It does not require a battery, charger, or anything else. When a vehicle passes over it, it explodes and causes destruction.
Afwanmal has disabled over 10,000 explosive devices. As one of his country's top demining experts, he is believed to have saved thousands of lives. Afwanmal is aware of the dangers of his job. His colleague, Bahadur Khan, was killed in a mine blast 2 months ago while clearing mines in Taliban-held territory. Afwanmal has survived his share of close calls, but he says a sense of patriotism motivates him. But 12-year-old Nurzia was not as lucky. Just a few hundred kilometers from where Afwanmal was defusing landmines, Nurzia stepped on a landmine near her home in Nangarhar province.
It was 8 in the morning when my mother sent me out to collect twigs for cooking. I was reluctant to go on that day, but I went to get rid of boredom at home. I lost both my legs when a mine exploded.
An international charity fitted Nurzia with artificial limbs, enabling her to walk and provide support to her parents and her extended family. But she regrets she can no longer go to school, which makes her bitter towards those who plant landmines.
I asked them why they cause suffering to people. May God get angry with those who lay bombs and hurt or kill civilians.
Each day, her father helps attach her artificial limbs, one leg at a time. Nurzia dreams of being a doctor someday, but says her dreams are on hold right now. For Azizullah Popal in Kandahar and Zabihullah Ghazi in Jalalabad, Afghanistan, this is Shaista Sadatlami, VOA News.
Coming up, is that a Hollywood movie or a wedding video? Find out. You're listening to VOA Asia.
Hi, my name's Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, your request and dedication program here at the Voice of America. 1500 Universal, Monday through Friday, we're there for an hour playing your favorite music. You can send an email in and request your favorite songs by your favorite artists. You can also phone in as well. We have great contests and surprise guests from time to time. Border Crossings, every single day during the week at 1500 Universal, here on the Voice of America.
We have this news from Asia presented with frightening possibilities because of intense damming. The leaders of the Mekong River Commission member countries gave little sign Thursday. They heeded calls to rethink a fundamental water policy for the shared waterway. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features to see and share. This is VOA Asia. If you were tuned into our Facebook page earlier today, you saw Skylar Ogden down at the cherry blossoms here in Washington. As the weather starts turning warmer, wedding season is beginning to blossom, just like the flowers and trees. Now couples can have a Hollywood-quality record of their big day. As Tina Trin tells us, a New York company, Love Stories, is working to make couples from all over the world have professionally produced wedding videos.
Right now, it would be easy to think you're watching a movie trailer. There are the atmospheric scene setters, sweeping vistas, and aerial drone shots. But this is actually a wedding video.
I was thinking, this is the best content I've ever seen. It's real people, real stories, but professional production.
Rachel Silver is the founder of Love Stories TV, an online platform for watching and sharing professionally produced wedding videos.
We have thousands of wedding films from all over the world, and they've all been contributed by newlyweds or filmmakers.
So who exactly is tuning in? And is there really an audience for wedding videos of strangers?
Many of our viewers have grown up on reality TV. The Bachelor has been on television their entire lives. It's about the love story. Inevitably, in a wedding film, it comes out how you met, how you fell in love. They interview the friends and the family members, so you walk away with just this overwhelming sense of joy.
Besides its entertainment value, Love Stories TV may prove helpful when it comes to wedding planning, listing the venues, florists, dressmakers, and more depicted in each video, which are searchable by location, religion, culture, and even sexual orientation. Jennifer Thompson works for a wedding videography company and says the website has helped spur business.
It's a great place for us to, you know, contribute our work, get it in front of our, you know, more potential clients.
Cynics may roll their eyes at the self-congratulatory couples, but Silver, who regrets passing up the chance to have her own wedding documented, argues that these milestone moments are rare.
All of their family and friends and the people they love the most are surrounding them, and that only happens to you a handful of times in your entire life.
All the more reason, perhaps, to preserve the moment for posterity. Or late-night binge-watching. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
And to see some of those love stories, visit our website, voanews.com. This news from Asia. Pakistan's prime minister is set to pay an official visit to Afghanistan later today to discuss strained mutual ties. The two sides will discuss ways to ease tensions in bilateral relations and strengthen political, economic, and counterterrorism cooperation. All the big stories come your way through the day on the VOA Asia Facebook page. This is VOA Asia. The last time man set foot on the moon was 1972, but huge leaps in computer power have been matched by similar advances in space travel. As VOA's George Putich tells us at the recent annual Space Exploration Conference organized by the university's Space Research Association, NASA officials and scientists expressed great enthusiasm for resuming exploration of the moon.
NASA's not yet appropriated 2019 budget includes returning to the moon in the 2020s using a series of satellites and robotic landers, which the agency hopes will be built by commercial firms and universities in cooperation with other space agencies. NASA also plans to build a lunar orbiting platform called the Lunar Gateway to serve as an intermediate docking station.
What that allows us to do is actually take these landers potentially from the moon to the gateway. I don't have to launch one every time from the U.S. I can actually do things back and forth from there, which makes that architecture a little more resilient, a little more reusable from that standpoint.
But important questions still need to be answered before humans return to the moon, including how the human body reacts to prolonged exposure to cosmic radiation outside the protective layer of the Van Allen belt.
Sending model organisms out into that environment, doing experiments, understanding better these issues of DNA repair is really critical. Again, not just to make sure that we can keep astronauts who are living and working out in that environment healthy, but understanding those benefits for human health right here on Earth.
Eventually, humans will build permanent stations on the moon, but much will depend on the level of support here on Earth.
It costs lots of money. There are so many pressing problems that, you know, we have here in the United States, that our international partners have. And, you know, keeping that kind of focus and that stability of funding and that sense of continuity, you know, is much more difficult to sustain here in 2018 than it may have been in the 1960s.
Although NASA is building a new powerful rocket suitable for deep space explorations, the agency has yet to set a date for its next mission to the moon. George Putich, VOA News, Washington.
Record producer Ian Brennan and his wife, Maralina Deli, a photographer and documentary filmmaker, are on a quest for the unknown and the unfamiliar. Their passion for discovering unique human stories and music has taken them to far-flung places, from Malawi to Rwanda and Cambodia, to give voice to genocide survivors. Faiza El-Masri caught up with the couple on their global trek and has the story narrated by Faith Lapidus.
For a music lover like Ian Brennan, hearing a good song is a rewarding adventure, even if it's in a language he doesn't understand.
I think it's better for us neurologically to listen to things that are diverse. It's better for us sociologically as well. And what we get with recorded music is, by nature, repetition, hearing not only the same song, not only the same singer, but the same performance of the same song over and over and over again. But there's a lot more to the world than that. I think a lot of the greatest music comes from everyday life, comes from people's tradition or just their own emotions. And I think there's just so much untapped potential and untapped creativity in the world that to hear from just a small sliver of people is kind of a disservice to everyone.
Brennan began exploring that untapped potential about 10 years ago when he accompanied his wife, Marilina Deli, who's half Italian, half Rwandan, and her mother, a genocide survivor, to Rwanda.
My mom lost all her family, and when we decided to go there, I was shooting a documentary called The Rwanda Mama about my mom's return to Rwanda after 30 years apart. She actually discovered that her best friend, who thought died in the genocide of 1994, was alive, and that was the reason why she decided to go back.
During this trip, the couple had a chance to listen to a local artist, Adrian Kazagira, the lead singer of the Rwandan band The Good Ones.
He still lives on the farm he was born on and that his wife died on and that he survived the genocide on, and we recorded there in rural Rwanda where they live without electricity and without running water. And he's just one of the most gifted roots writers, folk writers, I think in any language in the world. But unfortunately, because he sings in Kinyarwanda and not in English, he's not as heard by nearly as many people as he probably should be. Mbega gahinda yewe mukobwa wumva yo hakuvuga yagira intimba impuhwe ziraje usuye umukunzi atagushimye ngo aramumanyije. That song is extremely complex, more than just a love song, because it's specifically about a woman who had contracted AIDS and was sent away by her lover and was sent away by her family and spent what little money she had to go to a witch doctor to try to cure herself. And it's someone who truly loves her and cares about her, trying to convince her not to leave, not to be banished.
In Malawi, Brennan teamed up again with his wife. He recorded the music and she photographed the artists.
We've spent a lot of time in Malawi. We did the Malawi Mouse Boys, who have released 3 albums, and also the Zomba Prison Project, which were with the individuals from the maximum security prison in Malawi, whose first album was surprisingly nominated for a Grammy Award, which was something that was deserved, but certainly not expected. Kundilanda juma zakala benti moyo. Kundilanda juma zakala benti moyo. In fact, many of the projects we work on, and in many cases we prefer, are with people that are not identified as musicians. They're people that have maybe never sung before publicly or never written songs before. That was true of the Zomba Prison Project. It was also true of the Tanzania Albinism Collective. And it's incredible, the music that can come forth from someone when they're given the opportunity to be listened to and to be heard.
Though in different languages and melodies, Brennan says most of these songs convey similar feelings and experiences.
Genocide survivors in Cambodia who survived the Khmer Rouge share some similar experiences with the individuals in Rwanda who survived the 3 genocides there.
For their next project, Brennan and Deli are heading to Pakistan.
We also have a release coming from Ustad Stami from Karachi, who's a 75-year-old vocal master who specializes in microtonal music, a 49-note system that predates Islam. So he sings a lot of pre-Islamic music in Sanskrit and in pre-Sanskrit and in Farsi. He's a very, very gifted and very rare individual, because basically the music that he sings, no one else does or really even can.
The excitement of meeting these unique artists encourages the couple to keep searching the world for hidden music. For writer Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
You have been listening to VOA Asia. Get our program on iTunes and SoundCloud. Download our podcast and take us with you. You can find us at voanews.com. Let us hear from you, too, on VOA Asia Facebook. Thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Jonah Cummings. And thank you. I'm David Byrd in Washington. Enjoy your day.